Hey family, welcome to Collective Conversations. Just want to say thank you for tuning into this week's podcast episode. We do have a Patreon at patreon.com/collectiveconversations. And if you want to join, you can get behind the scenes content, get early access to episodes, and even ask questions and be a part of community with us. We're also part of Collective Church in Carlsbad, California. And if you guys want to check us out there, you can check us out on our website at collectivechurch.co. Again, just want to say enjoy and welcome to this podcast. All right. Hey family, welcome to Collective Conversations, where we talk about all things faith, spiritual health, mental health, physical health, current events, and all things in between. My name is Nick, and I am the host for this podcast, and I'm joined with Zach Felici.
Hey guys.
And he is our lead pastor, and we got Ezekiel Pugal.
Hello.
And he is our associate pastor. So we're Collective Conversations, welcome. And we're also Collective Church, based in Carlsbad, California. And we just want to say welcome. And we're here with another podcast episode.
Yes.
We have, this is podcast episode number 3.
Number 3, or 2.5.
2.5. Yeah. We're getting things kind of dialed in. I think we have everything dialed in that we want dialed in. And yeah, it's exciting. We did a little bit of a turnaround on the podcast episodes where it's only been, what, a few days? A
few days. We're just like catching a rhythm, I think.
Yeah.
Rhythm is beautiful.
But for you guys, it'll probably be a week. We're going to post another episode, and then we're going to be having a goal to do one every single week. So be on the lookout to see those podcasts. And another update, something that we talked about last episode, we do have a Patreon. So if you want to join in, be a part of that community, learn a little bit more, get behind the scenes stuff, early access, talk to us, ask some questions that you may want to hear on the podcast, feel free to join. It'd be a really cool thing to have you guys join our Patreon, and it is a way that we are able to continue to do this podcast.
Amen.
And we want to continue, not only to just talk with each other, but also to help you guys. We want to bring up topics, hard topics, difficult conversations, things that we want to make sure you guys get to ask and have a space to ask those questions.
Amen. And just bring community, right?
Yeah. Because another piece for our heart in that is to kind of create a community where we can pray for you guys, and we can also just be a part of your guys' lives, and you guys can be a part of ours. Hear a little bit more about what we're doing behind the scenes, not only with the podcast, but with the church. See some stuff, like maybe we'll get some vlogs out.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Oh, wow. And it's just a big shout out to those of you guys watching internationally. Yeah. I think we've been blessed with a big reach. And just thank you if you're listening and you've been a part of the church for a while. And come along for the ride.
Come along for the ride.
Amen.
Because it's a pretty fun ride. It's a difficult ride being a church plant, learning to do all of this stuff.
Grassroots, from zero to church plant to start a podcast. It's been... Yeah, we've had our times.
Yeah.
I've wanted to quit probably 414 times.
Not me.
Not you?
Okay. No. No, just kidding. No, with all honesty, it is difficult and it is hard, but with seeing your guys' support, not only with finances, but also just seeing your guys' support by
prayers,
reaching out to us, yeah, prayers, affirming us in what we're doing, it helps. And it reminds us of the calling that we've been given to do something like this.
Yeah, just pray for your pastors and pray for your podcasts or your Christian leaders. It's more difficult than you think. So,
yeah.
And that kind of goes into the topic today, but we're not going to do that until later, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and dive right into a current event, something that Zach has pulled up. And, yeah, it's something really cool.
Something that's ongoing right now.
Yeah.
The topic is Christians flood social media with prayers for infant's miraculous heart transplant. 7 weeks old. I think his dad, Mark, we're going to call the baby Gus. And apparently in the past week, to a chronic baby's journey through surgery where he's getting a heart transplant, and he posted social media, the dad posted this: my son is currently in surgery. That's a whole lot in itself. 7 weeks old. My son is currently in surgery. He went in around 1 p.m. The old heart is out and the new heart is going in. We only spent 11 days on a transplant list. And we were talking about before we were on the podcast about the contrast between that. I know people who are on transplant lists for a long time, but 11 days is not a long time.
Yeah.
So those are answered prayers in itself. I can only imagine the prayers that were prayed to get a transplant, to get a family, or to get another, to get a donor. And then the contrast of the family who had the unfortunate passing of that 7-week-old heart that was donated to this baby in surgery right now. And that's a contrast for sure. And he simply said, it's been a long day. We probably won't see him until 8 p.m. And despite this, at the end of it, he goes, the Lord is our refuge. And he clearly, through the updates and through all the things that he was posting on social media, gave God the glory. But this was the news. It was a successful surgery, but complications were followed. And it says this, despite a successful heart transplant, however, Jobert, Mark, his dad, posted an update asking for prayers because Gus's heart had trouble beating. And he says this, we had bad news after a successful transplant. Our son's donor's heart has not started beating. He will transition to a heart bypass machine for a couple days in hopes that it will begin to beat. Otherwise, he will pass away. Please pray for us all. May the Lord be glorified. And even though that gives me chills and gives me a whole bunch of perspective on life and the things that the people are actually struggling with, just for him to say that may the Lord be glorified, may your will be done in the midst of suffering is big time. And continuing on, it says 2 days later, he wrote that his son's heart started beating again and thanked those who have kept him in prayer. But he did say this, it is weak and incomplete, but it is a beat. It sustained and grew all day today. Please keep praying for Gus. And there was momentum that was being gained. And what's cool is I was getting to this end of this current event in this article, and I thought it was going to be like a success story or like, thanks for praying. He is now healthy, but it's ongoing. So in hopes, you know, I think we're on TikTok Live right now, and those and the people in the room right now, I just want to pray for Gus because I think it's an ongoing, and it says he's going to be on the machine a couple more days, and please pray with us for God to give our doctors wisdom. Pray that Gus's lungs would recover, that this time on the machine would be free from complications and provide the time he needs to come free and soar finally with a healthy heart. So I know some of us that are going to be listening to this in the future, he could be stable by the time people listen to this, but for TikTok Live and for us right now, I just want to simply pray for Gus. That's so sweet. Father, I just pray for Gus right now, for his heart transplant, for his body to adapt and to adopt to this new heart, and I pray that this family time of turmoil and anxiety, and I pray that you answer those families' prayers to keep Gus healthy and so he can soar and he can finally start his life. And Father, I pray for the ongoing steps that for the doctors and the wisdom, and I just pray that Gus finally is able to live. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, the contrast between someone needing a transplant and someone getting one, prayers, and for the surgery to go well, prayers, and then for the recovery to go well is prayers. So just swarm this family. I think his Instagram is Mark_Jobert, or however that's pronounced, J-O-U-B-E-R-T. We love you guys. We'll continue to pray for Gus.
Yeah, and I really respect him saying stuff like that for this to glorify God.
Yeah.
Because there was an interview with Megan Faith Marshman, And I've had the privilege of getting to like hear her speak in person, but it was in this interview that she said that it's in the midst of hardships that you'll find where you put your faith.
Yes.
Like if your faith isn't a God that only ever provides and makes you happy, then in the midst of a hardship, whenever you find yourself relying on a God that only makes you happy,
amen,
you're going to be disappointed.
I think there was when I was at a funeral for a passing, and they lost a child, the father who passed away. And when that happened, he says, it's now time to come to a point where, do we really believe what we say we believe?
Mm.
That's tough, right? Let's put your faith to the test, right?
Yeah,
I guess that's tough, huh?
No. And I love that it's ongoing, that it's something that we can still hear, and we can be reminded of these miracles.
Maybe I can look him up on Instagram. Let's see.
Yeah.
Really quick. Just to get an update, because this article was written, I think, yesterday.
Dang. So this is current. Very current. And
oh, it looks like his account is private, I think. Well, Mark and fam, I will continue to keep praying for you guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Well, keep praying for that family. Thank you. That makes way more sense. Oh yeah, obviously. Little thing of current events. I know if there are any football fans, I've been convicted lately because sports are my entire life, and they were my entire life, and I just fail to talk about it sometimes. Really quickly, I am not a Niners fan.
Mm, amen.
Okay. But the quarterback, Brock Purdy, said something really cool yesterday in their win to go to the Super Bowl. And he goes, credits Jesus for Super Bowl run. And he goes, win or lose, I'm going to glorify you.
Amen.
And it's really cool to see the professional athletes on the stage and the platform they're given. Millions are watching. That's why I love that story of Tim Tebow when he was playing in the national championship game. He wore John 3:16 on his eye black, right?
Yeah.
And it was the most Googled thing. Right. And during these games this year, last year's Super Bowl commercials, Jesus Gets Us, right?
Yeah.
They're still making those commercials. And I saw a couple of them during these football games this last Sunday. And it's really cool to see Jesus and God and just them being talked about. I know Lamar Jackson is a Christian. I know Brock Purdy is a Christian.
Kirk Cousins
is a Christian. Yeah. They're so good at what they do professionally in the sport of football, but it's really cool to see them use that platform. February 12th, the Super Bowl, the 49ers versus
the Chiefs,
and I'm gonna have to root for the 49ers because my twin brother is a 49er fan, and it just makes sense. I'm like, you know what, I'm done with the sibling rivalry kind of stuff, and I'm just gonna join forces. So even though I lost a bet to him a couple days ago. But anyways, I'm not going to talk about that because there's no sibling rivalry. So, Aaron, if you're watching this, go Niners, I guess. But, yeah, it's cool.
Amen to that.
Glory to God. He has given us this opportunity.
Yeah. No, amen. It's been cool. I feel like it's been since that Super Bowl commercial or the couple of Super Bowl commercials from He Gets Us that I've been seeing more and more like professional athletes and celebrities being a lot more outspoken about their faith.
Yeah.
Seeing interviews like Kirk Cousins had an interview about his faith and walking the life of being a Christian as a professional athlete, where his main day on the job is Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's hard because he can't just go to a regular church service on a Sunday morning. Because he's probably working.
Yeah.
And getting to go to like the team chaplain and hearing a sermon from them and getting to just have the opportunity to live out their faith and be respected for having a faith like that and continuing on in the midst of something like professional football or something that, yes, there are people of faith, but there's also a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commentators, there's a lot of fans that aren't in the faith. And it's so easy to for people to end up just idolizing and treating those celebrities or those coaches or whatever as the people that they idolize and they worship.
Yeah, and I really love the fact that like those people understand the opportunity they've been given.
Yeah.
Like when I played college football or had a stint of college football, I just didn't take hold of the opportunity. I wasn't a Christian during that time, and I'm like, man, I really wish like I knew God in college. And it made me the man who I am today. When God's appointed time, I met him when he wanted me to. But man, it's just, I think I would have practiced different. I think I would have done my lifestyle a little bit differently. I would have just done stuff completely different. And for those people to make millions and millions of dollars and then have such athletic capacity for what they do to still give God the glory, it's really, really refreshing. And I love that, even though I kind of hate the Niners, so.
That's okay.
Poor Zeke over here. I don't know if he's not the biggest football fan. He likes football, but, you know, he's like just like, I don't know what to add.
Yeah, football.
Well, there's also different actors and actresses, like Chris Pratt. He's one of those.
Oh, yeah, celebrities, yeah.
That was very outspoken. I forget what awards ceremony it was, but, like, he gave, like, I think it was, like, 7 things to live by, and a lot of it was faith-based.
It was really powerful.
And then the actor who plays Jack Reacher. Very open and
Alan Richardson,
something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
He's definitely a Christian for sure.
Yeah, he's been outspoken about living out faith as an actor in a world like the acting world and the movie world where things are definitely.
Yeah, and he actually talked about like how hard it was to like be this guy that is very strong, very muscly, very like
kind of
violent, yeah. Right? And being a Christian and playing those roles as an actor was pretty profound. Yeah. But that's a whole nother story.
Because he got a lot of criticism for doing that. Like, how can you be a Christian and play Jack Reacher?
Yes, yeah. It's pretty tough. But then you draw the line where, you know, 2 Timothy says, rightly divide the word of truth. You should know that there is that kind of violence in the world, and you should pray for sure. But then also when you're watching a television show, this might sound a little brutal, but let's grow up a little bit and understand that it is fictional. Mm-hmm. But still pray for the violence going on in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And I just you know, I don't like the Christians who cower away. The fact that there's a person that is on the same team as us that is an actor and proclaiming Jesus to millions, and you're upset. Mm. I want to talk to those people who get upset one-on-one and ask them what they're doing for the kingdom. It's not workspace, but I'm like, come on, we're on the same team. Let's go.
Yeah.
Kind of zip it a little bit and let's go.
Let's encourage him to continue to do that.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But over social media, and you can realize after our first current events, the social media part of how powerful social media is when, you know, they're praying for their son, heart transplant, and it's still the same thing. It's proclaiming the good news, talking about Jesus to millions.
Yeah.
Because every time if I do watch Reacher, I can look at, I'm like, oh, he's a Christian, go God.
You watch
Yo, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I am a grown up and I know what's fake and not, right? They're like, well, what about like ingesting or digesting the soul stuff and like you're like, what are you watching and what are you listening to?
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough, but like,
is it tough though?
You know, is it?
I don't think it's that tough, in my honest opinion. It's like we have all these outlets of entertainment.
Yeah.
Like there's so many things that we use to entertain ourselves, and it's like I get we need to be cautious of what we also let in, but it's like at the same time, it's like when you know God's word, like when that's written in your mind and your heart and you're guarding your mind and also knowing like, oh, this is just a show at the same time, it's like,
oh sure,
I think we just overcomplicate it. Because then I think about like at the same time, entertainment is another tool and resource that God can use. Like the professional athletes are using their God-given talents or like their physical capabilities, and they've been given a platform to glorify God.
Sure.
And same with actors and actresses. And it's like, how small-minded are we as Christians to think that God can't be glorified through these things? Like, big example is, I think about Lord of the Rings and Narnia.
Mm.
They're huge entertainment things that we've watched or read that have had huge impact in the creative circles when I think about it. And it's a trickling effect. Like, people don't know that. I had coffee with a friend, and we were just talking about kind of like the nerdy world and being a Christian. And sometimes it feels so like I can't like these things because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking about like the world of D&D is slightly inspired by the world of Lord of the Rings.
What's D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, nice. But the it's only like, thing I know about that is
dragons. But it's like one of those things that that has had a trickling effect on society and culture, where it's like this has given people some form of escapism, but then also it's like when you think about it, it's like, I don't know, it's like it gives people, especially Christians that like those things, the capability to be themselves without it being like, I don't know, judged for. It's like,
you're right. It's not as hard as you think.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think when you get to the point where like, oh, God has gifted that athlete, why can't we say God has gifted those authors or actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
To proclaim his good news to the ends of the earth. And
yeah,
I think it's really cool.
And even the thought of, I wrote it down, and it's something that I've preached on, is like, if it is something that the enemy meant for evil, like, can we allow God to turn it for good?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's something that, like, in the entertainment industry and the way that a lot of it can be worldly, can we allow God to turn it for good, change our perspective to, like, especially like the celebrities and those professional athletes, how they're able to like turn it from something that like a lot of people end up idolizing or worshiping, athletes, celebrities, people that have more followers or that have more of a following. And what do they do with that? They point to something higher.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just think that's really cool. Good point, Zeke. I like that.
Man. Yeah, and I think that's just about it, what we have with the current events, right?
Yeah, that's so it.
We have our topic for today, and today is it's a question of I need or I want change. What do I do? This is something that is kind of like on my heart for those that don't know what a good first step is or a good next step. Whenever they feel like change is needed, like maybe you feel convicted to make a change, or you feel like you're called or pushed towards something.
So we're gonna talk about calling right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe
you could.
We'll see.
Like physical health, mental health, spiritual health. Like
yeah,
I need change, or I desire change, or long for change.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah. What do I do? So I think it'll be fitting. Zeke, you wanna?
Oh, I'll start.
Okay.
Wanting change and I think the challenge I think about, like, personally, when it's come to change and, like, wanting that is, like, I have to remind myself, like, that I'm a new creation in Christ. And I think a lot of times I go back to, like, the failure of, like, oh, I'm back to the old ways, and then kind of, like, feeling defeated in a lot of senses of, like, dang, here I go again.
Can a dog, an old dog, learn new tricks? That's what it reminds me of. Like, oh, I'm trying to teach my old dog self something new, and I just keep failing, you know?
Yeah. And it's like...
Wait, can a old dog learn new tricks?
I think they're capable.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Nah.
Like, they're old, you know?
I think what's going to come with a lot of that is grit and tenacity, because, like, I think about, like, when it came to my physical health and, like... tackling things that, like, I never went to a gym before. I wasn't an athlete. I didn't do sports. And I always lived with a mentality like Zeke or Ezekiel can't be a physical fit person. Like, he's not going to run 9-minute miles. He's
and
not
now he's a physical specimen.
Oh, gosh. But it's like one of those things where, like, I legit had to fight through blood and tears and sweat and all those things in order to get where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And oh, you said the word grit. I'm sorry to keep cutting you off, but you're making some good points. You said the word grit. And I think for those listening, do you think you gained and learned what grit was throughout this journey?
I'd say yes, because I think a lot of the times, especially when I was starting, the amount of times, like, I was having a hard time, not just physically, but mentally at the same time, with, like, I'm hitting mental walls of, like, I've been telling myself I can't do this for years, and I've been accepting that, and, like, when it came to the point where it's, like, I have to, like, mentally punch that wall down of, like,
there you go,
like, I have to, I have to fight for what I want. And it's like, that's grit. It's like, you're going to fight. You're going to, like, persevere through, like, I think of, like, when we go through trials, like, perseverance is one of those things that teaches us grit.
Yeah, being super uncomfortable. It's super uncomfortable. Grit is super uncomfortable.
And so, yeah, like, when it came to a lot of me doing CrossFit and then, like, getting an L1 to actually, like, train people is also, like, another thing that I'm like,
yeah. Who would I forget that you have that?
Like, okay, explain what L1 is for those that
don't
know.
It's just so that I could train people in the fundamentals of CrossFit and functional fitness.
And should we open up a gym?
I've thought about it.
Gym, church, podcast. That'd be cool. In the same building.
But anyways, like,
Lord, you heard my prayer.
Going through that journey so far and, like, continuing on this journey, like, I am more capable of, like, holding on to that, like, grit mentality of, like, I'm going to get through this. Like, there's been many times where I'm, like, kind of, like, fighting for my life during a workout.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, I got to keep going. Like, as much as I want to stop, I'm like, there's 2 minutes on the timer, I could continue going.
Yeah. Because I think the ability to keep going is based off evidence that you've done that before and you've survived.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's really important. Like, for grit is like pushing yourself to be uncomfortable is going to be really hard. But then getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, you end up developing grit, and that's where real change happens.
Yeah.
And it's just based off evidence that you've survived uncomfortable situations or uncomfortable workouts in the past, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I think about just that journey per se, like, for my physical fitness health journey, it's like, I can do muscle ups. I ran a half marathon.
There you go.
And, like, all these things, like, I've done 2 CrossFit competitions, and, like, seeing where I was into seeing where I am now, like, I have to remind myself, because, like, it's easy to, like, get down on yourself and be like, oh my gosh, I messed up. Or
I,
like,
think in a way you did mess up. Little story, Zeke's half marathon.
Hey.
Half marathon, he ran it, pushed him, but I was the guy in the car kind of like following him along when he was riding or running, and picked him up at the end. He needed some food, and then he spilled all of his Mexican food in my car after his half marathon. And I totally, I totally forgive him. Because he was like half conscious because he just ran a half marathon, yeah. First time in his life. But my car has been, I still have, I think, some cheese left over a couple years later in my car.
It's something I didn't train for.
He just went. He wasn't trained. He just because, went for it.
Do you remember why I did the half marathon?
Yeah, because I said that he couldn't do like reverse psychology stuff, you know?
I don't know if it was like reverse psychology, but I was just like, well, kind of, but I'm gonna prove him wrong because I ran like 7 miles and I was like, well, might as well. How far is a half marathon? Might as well keep going. Gosh.
I just remember seeing the story on Zach's Instagram. It was like so proud of Zeke, and then right afterwards the next story was
my rolled tacos on the floor.
Spilled all the food, man, and just ruined everything.
Yeah. So would you say in asking the question, I need or I want change, what do I do? Do you think for you, a part of it was understanding and learning that change is going to be uncomfortable?
Yes.
Mm. Like, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And especially in the realm of, I think in all realms, realizing that in those uncomfortable spaces, like, you're allowed to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be uncomfortable because, like, that's part of growing. Yes. That's part of learning.
Yes. And then, like, being okay with weakness. Because you're going to get faced with things that are going to be your weaknesses. And then you're going to have to learn to, like, accept, oh, I'm not good at this. Mm-hmm. I have to work on that. Or, like, it's just what's going to happen, like, regardless.
Yeah.
When you decide to want and need change, you're gonna be, because part of it is you're looking at a mirror of yourself and you're reflecting, so you're gonna have to, like, think about, oh, okay, like, I'm not as great as I thought I was. And so you're gonna have to, like, accept, like, there's gonna be times where you're gonna be like, oh dang.
In the words of Vadi Bachman, I ain't who I ought to be, but hallelujah, I'm not who I was.
Amen.
So imagine never starting, right?
Just that initial, the initial realization, that initial understanding, like, it's going to be uncomfortable in realms of physical health and also in faith.
Yeah.
It's going to be uncomfortable going through those changes, going through maybe what you're called to, or going towards something that maybe just a little bit... if it doesn't catch it on the cameras, Zach was just like cross-eyed right on his mic.
I just was acting a fool for a minute.
For a minute. I'm just kidding.
No, but like that journey of faith is going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be easy.
And don't do it alone.
Don't do it alone.
Because most of the time it wasn't me doing it alone.
Yeah, totally. I think I'll just transition to me for sure. If I need change or need help, where do I start? I really believe, like, I just immediately went right into the story of the disciples asking Jesus, please teach us how to pray. Like, out of all the things that Jesus did, the disciples said, please teach us how to pray. And that's where the Lord's Prayer comes from. Like, hey, then Jesus says, pray like this: our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name, etc. And it just goes into the question, and the question is, hey, can you help? Or, hey, what do you think? And I think a lot of people have a hard time asking for help.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's a lost art, maybe because of social media or some kind of psychological switch in the Western philosophies, but, like, It used to be where, like, if you wanted help with something, or you just go up and ask someone, or ask for mentorship, or for some reason, I have a picture of this young boy going up to the garage at the mechanic and saying, "Hey, can I just learn and watch, and can I just follow along?" And that, you know, where Jesus comes, you know, as a rabbi, taps and says, "Come follow me," and stuff like that. We're just asking questions. And I don't know if it's insecurity. I didn't really dive into that much, but my encouragement, like, is always asking questions like, "Hey, do you think you could help me? Or what is your advice on this?" If let's like lose our pride for a second. If you see someone that walks in the way of Jesus that you want to walk, or in the fitness world or the business world or the mental health world, like, ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them questions like, "What was it like? What'd you do?" Or they wrote a book, or they started a business, or, you know, like us, they started a podcast. Each one of us could answer those questions like, "Hey, what was it like starting a church?" Or, "What was it like starting a podcast?" The problem is asking questions. And I think that really goes into, you know, like Zeke was talking about fitness, and I can't get away with not talking about fitness with this kind of stuff, where community. And I wouldn't be nowhere close in my fitness journey if it wasn't for help.
Yeah.
Right? Like CrossFit, you show up to a class. I'm not particularly in a CrossFit setting at the moment, but I still follow an app. And Nick and I follow an app, and where you are better off following something or someone than you are by yourself.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. 95% of people in the gym are doing their own thing and they're not seeing results. Why? Because they're not pushing themselves beyond comfortability. They're not getting help that they need, or guidance or direction or proper technique or anything. It's all based off you asking for help, or you putting in the grit, research, researching technique, research this, like following something, being in a community. And it's a big shout out to, like, okay, asking the churches that you want to be a part of, or the gyms, or you just go in there and ask for help.
Yeah.
"Hey, I feel pretty," and it, losing your pride, like, "Hey, I'm out of shape, I need help. Hey, I'm pretty isolated in community, I need help. I lack a community, I need help." And it's really those big moments of being like a disciple of Jesus and saying, "Hey, can you teach me?" Be like a disciple asking Jesus how to pray. "Hey, can you teach me?" And I think that's a huge start, is just to ask for help, asking questions. So my encouragement is just ask. If you see someone you admire, first, shoot them a compliment because it's nice.
Yeah.
And two, ask them for help or advice.
No, that's really profound, especially the compliment part, because I know that if I was given a compliment, I would remember that forever.
Yeah.
But
I think that was Nick's way of, like, if you have his Instagram, or those of you guys watching online right now, shoot him a compliment.
I won't deny it. Or I won't reject it. I'll take the compliments.
Yeah. I think that goes right into, if you think a compliment, say it.
Yeah. No, for real. But yeah, asking for help, it is hard. It is difficult. I know for me, I grew up, and for a long time, it's something that I've been kind of healing from, is feeling like I'm someone that has to have it all together, or make it seem like I have it all together. And I still find myself having tendencies of doing that, where I'm trying to, like, hide myself from other people, is telling them that I'm good, I'm fine, but in reality, I'm not. And breaking down that barrier, breaking down that wall,
Breaking that bread. Sorry.
It's difficult. But if you are asking the question of what do I do, asking for help is a very good start. Very good start. Seeing people that you admire, like Zach was saying, people that you admire, maybe professionals. Professionals are professionals for a reason.
Yeah.
Because at least majority of them, some of them maybe, but a lot of them, if you look at the resumes, it's because they've spent a lot of time in the field that of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They spent countless hours learning, mastering what they do. And so it's worth it to ask.
Yeah. I think any profession, anything, any spiritual discipleship, leader, music, anything that people have an aspiration to be or do, there's something like, yeah, you maybe can't reach out to like a professional athlete or something and say, hey, can I get your advice? But you could work your way down.
Yeah.
And like just ask questions and go beyond yourself and send messages and send emails and develop the grit for learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with faith as well. Like if I ask 100 Christians, who taught you how to pray? You know, I remember giving this sermon, but who taught you how to pray? We'd get almost 100 different answers. Grandma, church leader, pastor, friend, sister, whatever. But in reality, every Christian should say, Jesus taught me how to pray because he taught the disciples how to pray. And I think that's a profound thing of like, where do we start? And I think it just starts with asking for help or teach me something.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
And I think it kind of segues into what I'm kind of talking about is not only asking professionals for help or people that you admire, but maybe people that are also in your wise counsel, your close circle.
Oh, yeah.
Not only for help, but just making...
Zeke just died.
Yeah.
He literally just died.
Not only asking for help, but also just letting those people in your close circle or your wise counsel, people that you really trust, just to let them know what's going on. Like if you say that you're wanting to do something, you want change, a big part of it and a reason why a lot of people aren't able to continue on that change is because there's no one holding you accountable for it except for yourself. And sometimes that's the hard truth is that you want change, but you haven't told anyone about it. And so I know that's something that I struggle with, because I'm like, I got it, I could do it. You have to bring people in, and part of that is just kind of humbling ourselves, letting go of that pride. It's which is a hard process. And I do want to encourage people, anyone that has realized like I need or I want change, the fact that you realize that is a miracle in itself.
Amen. And if you're in your close circle of friends and you can't go and ask them for help or advice, I think you're in the wrong circle of friends.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of that little quote that's super popular. It's like, you are the average of who you hang out with, right? I don't want to dive into too much of that, but if you need help in a certain area, especially if it's spiritual or faith or being a Christian or walking with Jesus, I'm going to encourage you right now, this upcoming church service, whenever you're going to church next, go up to your pastor and ask for help. Lord, have mercy on my soul. That would make any pastor, including myself or Zeke or yourself, Nick, if someone asked you saying, hey, I need help with this area of life. Like, that's what us pastors, we're shepherds. We love that. Yeah. Even though some of us fall down and we don't give the right advice sometimes, that's what pastors do, is we give spiritual advice and life advice. And it'd be super cool to hear from someone in the church and saying, hey, like, okay, maybe let's go put you in this life group, or let's do this, or let's try this, or, you know, like,
yeah.
I encourage you, looking at the camera right now, I encourage you to go ask your pastor for help.
Go ask. Yes, no, that's so true, because
what's the alternative?
Don't ask.
And you, if you don't ask, you stay exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And if you don't want change, if you don't want that change or life change, or you don't want to make those different choices, I am going to argue that you don't want that change bad enough. You just want to like be a victim and just stay there and stay complaining and staying in that spot. If you don't ask for help, you lie to yourself, you probably kind of want to stay there.
Yeah.
Because it's comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And like bringing that back again into one, the accountability, and saying that like it is a miracle for someone to even realize that they want change or they need change.
Yeah.
I want to encourage people that have recognized a need for change in their life. Like that's amazing in itself, because that's something that like the Holy Spirit's kind of like pushing you towards, and you realizing that it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And if you need an app, like a practical question to ask your pastor, hey, I want to go deeper in my prayer life. I want to become a better prayer,
or yeah,
anything like that. And just ask questions.
Yeah.
Any, you can even shoot us a message. That'd be great.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. Kind of a segue into our Patreon, where if you join our community, you're going to be able to ask those questions, and we would love to shout out you guys and, you know, join the community and like actually take the question that you asked in the community and present a podcast about that particular question. And a cool little what do they call that, pitch or something? Like, hey, perfect, join the Patreon.
Boom. I guess so. Yeah. Just about. Yeah. But yeah, and I think it kind of brings me into and I also want to hear your guys' thoughts on this story and like how this relates to the question, I need change, what do I do? It's a story in John 5 of Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. It's the paralytic man. And one of the profound things that Jesus says in this story is he talks to this paralytic man, this man that's been there for 38 years.
That's right.
And what Jesus asks him is, do you even want to be healed? Do you want that change, or are you comfortable in your change? Or are you comfortable in your struggle? Are you comfortable in living this life where you can't do anything?
Yeah, think that's a good story. Do you even want to be healed?
Yeah, because I think one of the things that we need to do as Christians, as people in faith, is humble ourselves to our own humanity. Mm. Let go of the pride and realize we are humans. Like, and we're probably constantly going to need some sort of change. Mm-hmm. Even if it's minuscule, if it's something small, we're born into the human conditions in nature that we're going to continue to fall short.
Yeah.
You know, the only way that God is going to accept us into heaven is if we're perfect. But through the blood of Jesus, we're able to go in and be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. We're broken ourselves.
Yeah, and this is obviously an encouragement. If you feel like you're constantly starting over and like you've tried asking for help, and you may have gotten hurt, or you may have gotten worse or something like that with people's help, is that the evidence shows that if you do not like your situation, or if you do not like your current self right now, and you want change, even though you asked for help and you got guided the wrong way or you got hurt, you can't give up. Mm. You cannot give up trying to learn or trying to get help, because that's when isolation happens, where like I keep trying to ask for help and no one helps me. And here comes Zach. I'm like, well, get over it. Ask again and change, right?
Yeah.
And it's like almost so profound that like, do not make those situations a wall, but make them a little speed bump. Give them credit. Like, that actually hurt. That didn't work, or that direction was not good for me.
Yeah.
But don't make it a wall and say, you know, I tried to change and this is what happened. Yeah. Instead, go make it a little speed bump and continue on. Keep driving, keep going, keep pushing.
Yeah.
And yeah.
No, I like what you said about it. What did you say? You recognize?
I don't know even what I said.
Recognizing that it did hurt.
Yeah.
Like or saying like, yeah, that did hurt. That,
yeah, because you ask for help and people that you've trusted may have given you misguided advice.
Yeah.
It just didn't work, and you're like, well, that didn't work, so I'm going to give up forever.
Yeah.
No.
It's one of those things where we need to recognize and understand reality as reality it is.
Yeah.
that we can't like put on a different lens, like completely denying things that are happening in our real life, mm-hmm. things that are happening in reality. Because like if we were to be honest with ourselves, majority of those times, those things that do happen to us, if we say, oh, I don't care, or it doesn't affect me, yeah, it does.
Yeah, give it a little voice, you know, give it credit, but don't let it overtake your life.
Yeah, yeah, so recognize reality. But also, realize that you got a God that's got your back.
Yeah, and do you even want change?
Do you even want change? Do you want to be healed? And
I guess it goes in back into the last episode, like pay attention to the benefits of that change.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about the consequences of if you don't change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, again, like Zeke was saying, like, change is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognize that change is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Imagine the benefits of your prayer life changing.
Yeah.
Versus, like, what could happen if your prayer life doesn't change. Or imagine what your life would look like if you did lose that weight versus thinking about all the things that could happen if you don't lose that weight. Pay attention to the benefits. And do you want to be changed? Do you want to be healed? Ask for help.
Ask for help. Not only people around you, but in something that Zach taught on just last night, or at least when we were recording last night.
Oh, that was last night.
In Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11, it was to abound in love, to seek more knowledge and depth of insight and discernment.
Wow. See, Nick takes the best notes on my sermons, and I just love him for it. Yeah.
But the part of seek more knowledge and depth of insight.
That you're right. That goes right into today, like that our topic.
Yeah.
Seek more knowledge and depth of insight. Whatever topic it is. Yeah. You know, as a pastor, I encourage, of course, dive deeper into scripture and dive deeper into prayer, dive deeper into God's presence. But also, if you want change in a particular area of life, dive deeper into that knowledge and depth of insight.
Yeah.
In that realm as well, and ask questions.
Yeah.
Keep asking questions.
Because that. And I would encourage you guys to go watch that sermon, because it was a good sermon. What are we titling it?
That's such a good question.
We can get back to that, but
yeah.
It'll be...
I preached it last night, and usually I don't... Zeke loves titles in his sermons, right? For some reason, I like mission statements and theses of my sermons, but like, or is it thesi at that point?
Thesi. Theses?
I don't know. But I always have to think about my title after I preach it. It's funny.
No, but that sermon will be up by the time we post this podcast. So,
sweet.
Diving more into knowledge and depth of insight, mm-hmm. Being guided, and part of that is just a simple prayer of like, God guide me, God guide my steps.
And you can sing. You can end up singing that song. And I'll rise up. Rise like the day. I can't sing.
This was our segment of Zach leading us in a song.
Yeah, but it like praying a simple prayer.
I could sing that if I like literally tried, but I just don't want to try right now.
I'm not saying he can't sing. That's I never okay. said that.
That's you okay.
Know, I sound he like just a needs dying to horse.
Ask for more insight from a professional that could teach him how to sing.
Yeah.
Do I really want to become a better singer if I don't ask for help, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, it's...
I don't need to become a better singer. I'm the best in my world, in my eyes, so my mom said so.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. My mom actually says you need lessons all the time.
Yeah. I'll pray for you.
Thanks for praying for me.
But, yeah, like going into the prayer for guidance and remembering things like Psalm 119, was it? Psalm 119 is like a really long one, huh?
It's the longest, yeah.
Yeah, they have 105, Psalm 119, 105. His word is a lamp to our feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like being guided by scripture.
Sure.
Like asking those questions to the professionals.
Or asking the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's there for.
And this is also another encouragement to not put God in a box, because the way that how God works. It may not be the immediate way that you maybe have seen on social media, or that you've seen like growing up or heard of growing up, where it's only immediate, God working only in the immediate. God can work through people. The Holy Spirit can push certain people to come to you, talk to you, help you, ask questions.
And some people's giftings are to help people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Advocates, consultants, life coaches, counselors, therapists, pastors.
Yeah, it's like, I use this in a sermon whenever I taught on John 5, but it was someone else taught on this. I have to remember what the name of this pastor was, but he made a very profound statement saying, God has given you counselors, but you don't go. Mm-hmm. God has given you the gym or the doctor, and you want better health, you want better physical health, but you don't go. And it's like, whenever you realize that you need change, don't put God in a box of how he's going to change you. Because this change could look completely different. Oftentimes, most times, looks completely different than what you thought.
Amen. I love that.
So please don't put God in a box of your own understanding.
And just send a mass text out. Text everybody for help. I'm just kidding. That might not be true.
Send them max text saying, I need help. That will definitely have people concerned.
You'd have a good day, right? You know?
People would be reaching out.
Yeah. What do you need help with? Oh, I was just actually trying to incorporate an LLC, so my future entrepreneurial business. You actually never have no idea who could help you, you know. I'm actually trying to lose weight. What do you think? Stuff like that. Anywho.
But yeah,
we're rambling now.
You're rambling.
Sorry.
Just kidding.
Caffeine, I think.
Well, yeah. I haven't even gone close to finishing mine.
Yeah, I'm done getting these guys drinks. They don't ever finish them.
I always finish mine. I just don't want to make the sound whenever. I just don't want to make a sound on. I don't think people want to hear me drink.
I understand.
Maybe you guys do. If you guys do, let me know.
So we gotta make a change.
Or at the same time, just please, loved ones, please send Nick a compliment today.
Zach, send me a compliment. I'll take
wants a change.
Tell me my hair looks good.
Actually, like I'm going on a change right now. Like it's kind of day two or three, where I'm just really paying attention to what I eat. So.
Wow. Same.
Yeah. So prepare for that.
I usually pay attention to what I eat, but like, I don't care if it's healthy or not.
Amen. So little
going into my mouth and chewing it.
Yeah. So this is just a little piece of advice. It's just we're on that train right now, and I think it's the last thing that we'll say because this is.
Is that the last thing we'll say?
Going on. Take your ideal weight, whatever you want to weigh, and times it by 10 or 12, and that's how many calories you should eat a day. And then take your ideal weight, and it's either 0.8 or 1 gram per body weight. So for example, I want to be 220, so I'm going to eat 220 grams of protein. But it needs to stay under my ideal weight times 10 or 12. I hope that makes sense. You might need to watch this or replay it a couple times, but take your ideal weight, times it by 10 or 12, 10 to 12, like 10, 11, 12, like that range, and then your protein. You have to hit your protein and then fill it out with the rest carbs or whatever, but you're not like going to go over your ideal weight.
Like you have to.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you want change, you have to.
It's difficult.
If you want change, you have to.
Yeah.
Caloric deficit, you just have to. Anyways, this is kind of not a fitness podcast, but it's everything podcast. So
it's
an
everything podcast, and a heart for us as a podcast is recognizing some of those practical things that we can do as Christians.
Yeah.
To better set us up to be people of faith, right?
Yeah.
And like Zach, you made that video on you posted it on TikTok. It was like, whenever a Christian labels everything as spiritual warfare, it was like, did you eat?
No.
Did you go to the gym?
No.
Did I get enough sleep? No. It's like,
it's practical stuff.
Yeah. We're like,
we live in a day and age where we have access to a lot of things that could teach us and are readily available to us. Like,
And we don't listen.
Yes.
And we don't want to change. We think we might want change, but we don't want to change, huh?
Like when it came to some of my drawing skills and like transferring some of the skills on a digital form or like digital illustration, like I followed a bunch of digital artists.
And you figured it out.
I'm still figuring it out.
There we go. But start somewhere, right?
Yes. And so it's like that you have access to a lot of ways that can help you and give you a start. And
yes. The wisest mentor of our generation.
Scary to
Mr. YouTube.
Yeah.
Mr. YouTube.
We have so many resources.
And
anyways, we need to end
this. The great Shia LaBeouf says, just do it.
There
just
we go.
Just do it. Amen. Well, that is another podcast episode. We're a little bit over an hour, so praise the Lord. Be on the lookout for other posts that we have, whether it's sermons or clips from our podcast and our sermons. We're gonna try and do a little. I'm gonna try and do a little bit better of posting more on the YouTube, like shorts and clips of the sermons and the podcasts, and just letting you guys see a little bit of a snippet of what we're talking about and what our heart is. Let's just be a people that can realize that change is uncomfortable, but it is needed because that is just what we are in our human nature.
And just if someone's seeking change, sing them this song. I won't give up.
And just ask for help if you feel like you need help.
Giving you all.
Well, okay, guys. Well, I love you guys deeply. Love you guys greatly. And Jesus loves you even more than that. So,
amen.
Just want to say grace and peace.
Don't give up.
Shalom, shalom.
Love you guys. Love ask you guys. For help.
Ask for help. All right.
Don't let your dreams
be dreams. I'm going to cut that out.
Okay, bye, guys.
Love you guys.